Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
From you, but something you freely give to Him, that place in your life, that first place in your life. Amen? When we offer ourselves, God said, I'm not going to force this on you. I want this to be given from the heart or it's meaningless to me. Amen? And I don't want you to act like you're giving up something when you give up your right to self. Amen? What you're giving up is that part of you, amen, that Satan uses to cause all the trouble, the friction, and the tension in your life. And when that part of you is completely surrendered to Jesus, that tension is gone. Hallelujah. Amen? And then you can experience His peace. His peace came not as some kind of spiritual Novocaine, something that takes you complete. His peace came in knowing I am in the perfect will of my Father, and my Father's in perfect control of my life no matter what happens. And He said, it's not like the world gives. This thing works in when everything around you seems to be shaking and crumbling. This peace is intact. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? My peace is not just something supernatural from Jesus. It's the peace He acquired by full surrender. You didn't hear me. His peace is not something the Holy Ghost just lays on you. I've seen people think they had it in a mighty anointed service and go out into life and found out that wasn't what they needed to last them through the hard time. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody offend you? Can really somebody come down on you? A good friend fail you? Can really tear that peace up? Unless you're fully surrendered to Jesus. Can you say amen? Well, I just thought I'd run that by you because I want you to get the real thing. I want to have the real thing tonight. God said He's working something real in us. I want to go back to an old study that we began and never did finish because I just feel led of the Lord to do it because it has to do with this rest and this peace. Jesus taught, for those that labor and are heavy laden, and I don't believe that's just to the lost people of this world. I believe Christians can get heavy laden. How many's ever been burdened since you've been a Christian? How many's ever needed a place in God where you're not just trying to find your ministry, you're not just trying to have a breakthrough, you're not just trying to pray through some barrier to get some breakthrough, that you are absolutely in the Lord's fold and you understand that He's sovereign and He's in control? How many would love to find that place David talked about where he said, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I don't have to worry about Saul killing me. I don't have to worry about when I'm going to become king. That's God's department. What I'm going to do is continue to serve the Lord just the way that I was serving Him when His eye fell on me, when He decided to qualify me for this calling. I'm not going to try to be a king because He's anointed me for to be a king. I'm going to continue to be what caught His eye that caused Him to anoint me in the first place. People get a hint that God's anointed them. They think they got to go out and make it happen. And if God chose you for something, it's because you were faithful in some area that probably wasn't no big deal to man, but was very important to God because it showed a quality of character. That's why David didn't come down to say, I'm going to kill this giant. I'm going to get the spotlight. It ain't Saul that's supposed to be king. It's me anywho. Can you say, man, I got the anointing and I got the mantle that he used to have. I'm the man. He didn't come down to do that. He came down to do what he was doing all along, and that is being a servant-hearted young man that loved God and had no personal agenda except to please the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And he didn't come to kill no giant, did he? You ought to read the narrative. He comes down to bring bread and cheese to his brothers who are in the service. He comes to serve them. He's not looking for some grandstand to show off his gifts. He's killed a lion and a bear under the anointing. But he's not even bragging about it until they tell him about a Philistine giant. But then he says, boy, the same anointing that came on me out there where nobody was looking, where nobody could applaud me and no one could say, write songs about me, that same God is upon me. And that same anointing will work to defend Israel, to defend the same anointing that defended that little flock of my fathers will defend this entire nation. Hallelujah. If God will send it to defend my sheep, He'll surely send it to defend His sheep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I just wanted you to know there's a place of rest in the Lord. So I'm going to go back to trusting God to take you through it all. If you'll read with me from Proverbs 3 and 5. and 3 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Simple formula. The formula is simple to understand. God wants your wholehearted trust. He wants you to acknowledge him. That means pray about everything. Everybody say, pray about everything, and don't worry about anything. Now, praying about everything for a Christian is pretty easy to get. Not worrying about anything after you pray is the hard part. That's where the trusting comes in. I can look out, I can tell the people that are not worried about anything. You're sitting there with that goofy look on your face like you don't have a care in the world, and you know you live in a world with all these problems. Can you say amen? Well, why do you have that look of joy anyway? Amen. It's not because you don't have trouble. See, some people will come in with a long face and they think the people with the bright smiles don't have any problems. No, they got problems, but they have given them to Christ. They've cast their burden on the Lord. They really believe that he's in control no matter what's happening around their life at the moment. Amen? They may have cried last night, but they know joy comes in the morning. So they are not down and out. They are not defeated people. They are holding on in faith. Hallelujah. That things are going to change and God is going to be glorified and good is going to come out of any situation and every situation if we keep our trust in the Lord. Amen? Through it all. Amen? And you can lay down in green pasture. Hallelujah. If you do that, I can do it too. I have to remind myself. In fact, I think I'll get this tape. I'll put it someplace that I can get to it. And when I need it, I'll pull it out and hear what the Lord says through his word. Praise God. I'm going to go from that scripture and that principle, that trusting and resting. Didn't Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For what? Where's this peace coming from? Where's this peace coming from? Is it something that you just pray for and God drops on you? Or did Jesus set a pattern, an example for you to follow? Amen. And the way you live your life before the Lord that produces that peace. Amen. Jesus said, you that labor and are heavy laden, come here. There's that supernatural peace. No, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am, come on, if you want rest for your soul, for I am meek. Say meek. And I am lowly in spirit. Everybody say, I am surrendered. And I am teachable. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I have a teachable spirit. Praise God. Amen. I am fully surrendered to the will of God. When there's a conflict between mine and his, I defer to him and say, nevertheless, not what I will, what you will be done. And the moment Jesus prayed that, angels came and ministered unto him. Can you say amen? There was a serene man in Pilate's hall, a beaten man, but he was serene in his spirit because he knew this is God's plan. I'm part of it. And good is going to come like the world has never known. And for the joy that was set before him and the condition he was in, can you say amen? He endured the cross while despising the shame. Praise God. For the joy that was set before him. He knew, I am surrendered. This is the will of God. This is the plan of God. This is not defeat for me. And it sure isn't defeat, amen, for the kingdom of God. This is God's way of bringing salvation to this earth and to offering it freely to all people. Now Jesus said, if you labor and you're heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. The way he does it is in the next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in spirit. And you, when you start following his example, will find what he had, his peace. My peace I give to you. Can you say amen? Well, this is how he got it. For I am meek and lowly in spirit. Can you say amen? And you will find what?
Rest for your soul.
Rest for your soul. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful thing to consider? Rest for your soul. I see so many anointed people that have no peace within. No peace within. God wanted me to preach over that church and that pastor wouldn't let me. Well, then don't sweat it. It's on him, not you anymore. The onus is on him. Can you say amen? God wanted you there and he wouldn't let you come there. It's not you anymore. It's off of you. Now, if you just got preachitis, the preacher's itch, and you got to show off and thought, I just had to do it, I am so disappointed. I am so let down. Well, you're not doing it for God anymore. You got some other agenda going on inside of you. You start doing it for God and somebody closes the door. Amen. Say, well, God, that's between you and them. It's okay. I'm just your servant. I'm yielded. I'm surrendered. I'm not going to get bent out of shape over this. Can you say, man? I was called to preach in a denominational Pentecostal church in Gastonia, North Carolina. They heard a tape. They wanted me to come. Amen. When I got there, they waited till I got there to tell me. The man that invited me said, you know, they met again and they said, you know, this man's not part of our group of preachers and he's not under our auspices. We hadn't had time to check him out. I don't fault them for that. I don't fault them for that. We had a nice little trip. We turned it into a vacation. Amen. They said, no, he can't come. After I made the trip, got into the town, they said, you can't come. Well, I'm sorry. We're here. We're not going to force our way in. We're not going to come over there and bother anybody. So the guy that invited me, we felt so bad, he found another little church to let me come. And so they let me come. And it was just, I mean to tell you, it made me appreciate you guys. It really made me appreciate you guys. These people wanted to sing a little song, do a little picking and grinning, and go to the house. They weren't concerned about Bible study, the Word of the Lord. Amen. Somebody come from Florida to preach to them, and I heard them on the platform while I was sitting on the platform that morning and said, are you coming back tonight? One of the musicians said, no, I don't think I'm coming. And I thought, oh, this is great. Ain't this wonderful? Praise God. Hallelujah. But I did find out that there was a woman there that had been in an automobile accident, and it effused together the spinal column up near her neck, and she was on pain medication. They had increased it because she could get used to it, and they'd have to increase it. She was the highest limit that her body could take. Amen. Of pain medication. She had to stay in kind of a glazed over condition all the time to deal with the pain, and they offered her no medical remedy for it. Amen. This was an inoperable situation. Because it was some kind of problem after an automobile accident. Amen. She was on that medication. She had nowhere else to turn. And the third night of that meeting, teaching the same scripture every night, thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Three nights of teaching like that to just a little crowd of unenthused people. Amen. No musicians to help us praise God because they ain't coming back till next Sunday. They don't care nothing about the Word and this preacher from Florida. Hallelujah. They came there to pick and grin. They didn't come there to praise and bow. Anyway, moving. And there's a lot of people in church for all kinds of agendas and reasons. Amen. The least of which is to bow to Jesus and receive His Word. But that lady came every night for three nights. Praise God. On the third night, she came forward for prayer. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, I want to get it over with. I want to get that night over with and hit the road. And say, Lord, we came here, the door was closed, but that's okay. Hallelujah. We went up while we were there and used an excuse to see the mountains. Praise the Lord. We drove around through the mountains and had a good time anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think that was the time we went to rent an automobile, and they didn't have a mid-sized car, so they asked me, would I be satisfied with a Lincoln? Let me think that over. Let me go pray about that. Maybe that's what turned them off. I drove up in a Lincoln, and they said, oh, no, this guy, we don't want to hear him. He's one of these, you know, Bible college graduates from a big church, amen, with a PhD. He can't preach. Anyway, hallelujah. On the third night, this lady came that had her back all stove up, you know, like that up near the neck, and we went to pray for her, and I went to pray for her, and she began to jerk in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Holy Ghost did that, because you can get an awful lawsuit over messing with somebody, amen, that's got that kind of problem if you mess them up. Can you say amen? And she began to jerk under the power of God, and there was a popping, cracking sound. Amen. As there's cartilage, amen, became loose from one another, and they were able to move again. Amen. And so 1 year later, I got a letter from Gastonia, North Carolina, and the lady said, it's been 1 year, and I've had no pain medication to this day. God has gloriously healed me. Praise the Lord. So you can get an attitude or else you can just say, Lord, I'm in your hands. Praise God. I'm willing to go through any door that you open. I'm willing to accept any door that you close. And if man disobeys you, that's not me. I was here in obedience to you. And I showed you that I'm willing to go through an open door. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we don't get mad at people. Hallelujah. We don't get mad at God. We praise Him, give Him the glory, and said, Lord, you do with me what you want to do with my life. Amen. And you will find rest for your soul if you're meek enough. Amen. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what caused God to talk to Moses different than he talked to anybody else in Israel. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1 is the key to it all. You know what he said to Aaron and Miriam when they said, we got other prophets, we don't have to follow Moses? He said, other prophets will I talk to in visions and dreams, but not so my servant Moses. Him will I talk to mouth to mouth. Everybody say mouth to mouth. Do you realize what that was? He would say something to God and God would speak back, not to his heart, but audibly to him. Just like I'm talking to you. Mouth to mouth is that way. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, what in the world gave a man on the earth that kind of rapport with God? That's pretty good. He said, visions and dreams. Holy Spirit said, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams as a result of the coming of the Holy Spirit. There'll be a mighty communication line with God set up where God speaks to people and through people on the earth. But it's still a vision dream thing. But not Moses. Holy Ghost wasn't even given, but God was talking to him mouth to mouth. There's a key to it all. It's Numbers 12:1. Set Moses apart from any of the other prophets or anybody else on the planet in that generation. It said, now the man Moses, among all men of this generation, is most meek. Thank you for the hearty amen. You know what meekness allows? Meekness allows God to teach you and you to learn and you to bow and you to quit questioning and bellyaching so much and just start bowing some more. And say, Lord, well, if this isn't your will and I want it so bad I could taste it, I'm so disappointed and angry and upset I could just bite through nails. Amen. Instead, you say, Lord, I want your will. Amen. This is one of the most criticized things. Jesus set the example and people criticize it. Because they think they can read the Bible 3 or 4 times and quote several scriptures and in every situation know the perfect will of God. So to pray, not my will but thine be done, would be an erroneous prayer. It's no faith in it. Amen. Listen, folks, God is looking for more than faith, amen, to meet your needs and to flow through your life. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for fidelity. He's looking for people, amen, that will bow to him and say, not my will but thy will be done, and mean it from their heart and start praying that his will be done, that his kingdom would come. Someone said, no one can pray thy kingdom come until you first pray, my kingdom go. Get rid of every hidden agenda. I know that you think everything that comes in your mind is from the Lord, but I've got a bombshell to lay on you. Everything that hits your mind is not from the Lord. That's why the Bible said we need to try the spirits. See that they be of God. One thing is for sure, you'll never be in a condition to truly try the spirits until you take his yoke upon you. Everybody say, his mindset in my life. I don't know if I can get in that message. I probably can't. Well, we're in part of it, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Finding rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke. What's his yoke? Amen. All my life, I saw two oxen. It's been preached all my life. God puts his head in one side. You put your head in the other side. And God and you, together with his strength, pull the cart. That's not his yoke. Amen. There's nothing about you and him teaming up to get something done. Amen. That's the yoke they put on a sheep that's young and impetuous and keeps getting through the fence. And the yoke is put around the neck. You ever seen a dog with a cone on? Keep him from scratching himself? This was a yoke. It looked like a bow tied together. Two parts of a bow and arrow tied together. And they spread it out and they put it around his neck. He goes up to go through the fence and boom, it stops him. That's to keep him where he's supposed to be. It's to keep him from going where his own will would take him, outside the will of the shepherd, and put him in jeopardy and put him in danger. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Can you say amen? And you know something, when a way seems right to a man, we're so quick to say, God showed me and God told me. And we paint ourselves into a corner we can't get out. Now we're committed. We've got to go through with it now. Amen? We've got to push ahead, forge ahead. Even though there's no indication that God has said it or is blessing it, we're forging ahead because we got something to prove to somebody. Amen? Better quit worrying about pleasing other people, what they think of you. Whether they give you, amen, allocates, or whether they say that's the most unspiritual, bumbling person I've ever met in my life. Well, I wouldn't give 2 cents for anything they had to say. It doesn't matter about all that stuff. What matters is what God knows about you, not what people say one way or the other. And He's looking for people that will bow to Him like His Son bowed to Him, and people that will surrender to Him like His Son surrendered to Him, and people will say in the volume of the book that is written, I came to do Thy will, O God. Let me tell you what happens in that life. The Bible said because of Jesus' attitude, amen, God gave him the Spirit without measure. Everybody say Spirit-filled. One of the most misunderstood phrases in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because nowhere in Scripture is it, amen, a glass being filled up with a pitcher until the glass overflows. It's not that kind of filling. Everywhere it's used in Scripture, it is not like a receptacle being filled until it overflows. It is a person being controlled by another person totally. In fact, in the Greek, it's rendered this way. Would you like to know what they read when they saw it? Would you? Everywhere you see filled with the Spirit or filled with the Holy Ghost, in the Greek it's rendered filled with and controlled by. That's why the heart attitude has to be correct to be truly Spirit-filled. Baptized in the Holy Ghost means you have the Holy Ghost. He's come to dwell within you. But being filled with the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has you. There's a difference in you having Him and Him having you. Because if He has you and He has me, then we become controlled by the Holy Spirit. Our temperament is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Wow. My temperament? Yeah. He wants control of your temperament. Your tongue becomes controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know what tongues are? The first evidence of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, what was it? Amen. Before anything else, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit now took control of their tongue. Can you say amen? Set on fire of hell, no man's entertainment. God wants to control that we can't. Isn't that incredible? First evidence that He's in control is the now, amen. And he wants to take control in tongues, amen, so that when the tongues are over, He can still be in control when we start talking whatever language we talk. Amen. So we don't speak doubt and fear. We don't malign one another. We don't speak words that counteract and contradict His words. Can you say amen? In the time of trouble, we don't speak what we feel, but what God says, because the Holy Ghost will bring to our remembrance so we can speak forth, amen, everything that Jesus has said unto us. Hallelujah. We're really having a bad day and we don't lie about it, but we say, God is in control. God good is going to come somehow out of this. I am weak, but He's strong, and everything's working together for good, so it don't matter about this bad day. Somehow God will integrate it into His eternal purpose for my life. If I'll keep trusting Him, He'll direct my path in spite of it all. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So His yoke's on me, and I say, Lord, not my will, but Yours be done, and I'm resting anyhow. Not struggling. I'm not fighting. I'm resting in faith. The book of Hebrews talks about a rest, a reposing, a lying down. And it says, beware lest any of you with having an evil heart of unbelief not enter into His rest. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt went into the promised land. The promised land should be a place where God establishes His people, where we don't have to fight. Amen. In fact, even when you say, well, other people came against Him. How many times did people come up against Him and God stepped between His people and the people coming against Him and say, thou shalt not have to fight in this battle? But the battle is not yours. Battle is mine. Oh, you might have to go out and sing praises to me. Can you say amen and watch me work? Amen. You might have to do something like that. That's not the same as picking up a sword and spear and trying to do it on your own. Amen. You're defended by the Lord. And even if you go to battle with the sword and spear, there'll be a supernatural anointing. Man can pick up a jawbone under that anointing. And 1,000 people fall dead.
Hallelujah.
Because the battle is the Lord. I have been frustrated. I have been agitated. I've met frustrated, agitated people with anointings trying to force the issue of God's will. I have met people who became bitter because they got mad at people for not promoting them. Promotion, the scripture says, comes not from the north or the south. Promotion, therefore, is not in man's control. Spiritual promotion in the eternal purpose of God comes from the Lord. And you know how you get promoted? You have to keep that Jesus mindset, that yoke He took. You have to go sit in the back, not present yourself as some great thing. Amen. The principle is taught in the book of James. If you're invited to a wedding, you're a very honorable person, you have high ranking in society, amen, and you go walk in and you say, man, they must want me to sit up near the front, so I'm not going to wait to be seated. Amen. You go in Denny's, they used to have to wait to be seated. Till they came and, you know, you asked where I can sit, or they showed you to a table. Amen. Well, these people come into a wedding and they decide, it must be up front somewhere. It's got to be up front somewhere. Can you say amen? I mean, look, I'm here. Amen. And they all know who I am. So, you know, I'm not sitting in the back with these losers. I'm going up front, praise God, with the people of honor sit. I don't know which chair, but I know it's on one of those first three rows up there somewhere. He said, when you're invited to a wedding, don't go up front and find yourself a seat. In other words, lift yourself up. Because the host of the wedding may come and take you. And boy, it's embarrassing when he does that. He may come and tell you, hey, that seat's reserved. You're in the wrong seat. And escort you to the back row. Come on. What he said, do everybody say, I'm meek and lowly in spirit. If you want to find this rest, you've got to quit being self-promoting. And know that promotion comes not from the east or the west. Amen. Promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So he says, go sit in the back. No matter how honorable or great you think you are, go demonstrate your humility. Amen. And sit down in the back. And if the host of the wedding thinks that you're sitting too far back, he'll come and get you. Hallelujah. And he will bring you forward and seat you in a more honorable seat. But you don't get in the seat of honor by seeking the seat of honor. You get in the seat of honor by humbling yourself to the will and the purpose of God. Getting rid of your ego and resting in the full assurance that what God wants is what I really want. That's called denying yourself, your selfish ego. Getting rid of your hidden agendas that cause such friction in your life. Some of you are right where God wants you, but you're dissatisfied there, so you're having a problem. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You think you're not grand enough and not great enough and not doing enough. And may it be a genuine zeal to do more for Christ. God wants you to do what He wants you to do. And He wants you fully surrendered. If He wants you in Timbuktu, I don't even know where it is on the map. I've heard of it all my life. I've never looked it up on the map. Where is it? Lord, help me. I preach to crazy people. It's in Busch Gardens. Is it a ride in Busch Gardens? Yes, yes. I figured it was. Amen. Lord, Lord in heaven. And here I thought it was halfway across the globe, and it's right here in Tampa. I want you to go to Timbuktu, and you know where she's going to go? Busch Gardens and ride something. Witness to somebody on that sucker. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where'd God call me? God called me to Timbuktu. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All the way down. Thank you, sister, for that input. Now if we can get the anointing back. Hallelujah. If God called you to Timbuktu, He just wants you to be surrendered to go. But if God called you to Tampa, Florida, He wants you to be content. And I got a feeling, deep feeling within me, if you knew the kind of heat that you take from having the spotlight on you in a huge ministry, if you understood what those men and women undergo, if they're really called of the Lord and they bear that. Paul talked about that came upon him daily, the care of all the churches. He said, this is something I have to constantly deal with, constantly give to God to keep it from crushing me. Being an apostle is not all glory and not all allocates. There's other things that get involved if you're truly called and anointed of the Lord. Maybe your calling is okay. Maybe it's okay to be a plain Christian, amen, that interacts with people where God makes divine appointments for you on a daily basis. Maybe God needs some people in the trenches, not just everyone in the chart room, amen, in the war room. Maybe He needs some people right out here in the trenches. Maybe He needs somebody witnessing to the clerk in the 7-Eleven by going in there 5 days a week with a good attitude, going in on Monday, waiting in a line of people getting lotto tickets, can you say, amen, and not complaining when you get to the counter and saying, you have a nice day, sir. Amen. And just letting your light shine before men. Everybody's looking for their ministry. Let me tell you something. You get fully surrendered to God. If God's got something else for you, He will. He won't play no game about something like that. If He's got something bigger and something greater for you to do, He'll tell you if you're fully surrendered. Amen. But if He has wants you to be what you are right now, if you're fully surrendered, guess what? If it's okay with God, it ought to be okay with you. David was king of Israel. He's this great warrior king of Israel. And you know something? He said, if you put me on the spot, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house. I don't have to be king. Just put me close proximity, amen, where I can worship God every day of my life. I don't need the allocades of men. I need to be near the presence of God. If He wants me to be king, fine. But if He wants me to be a doorkeeper in His house, that's fine. Just let me be in His house. One thing I've desired, to be a great king, to be applauded of men, to be a great leader. No, one thing have I desired. That will I seek after, to inquire at thy temple and behold thy beauty. Can you say, man? King or doorkeeper, let me be close to God and I'll be happy. I ain't looking for the mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm not looking for South Fork. I'm not looking for something, amen, down here off of, in New Tampa. I'm not looking for that gated community with the 500,000 up. Can you say, man? It's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the gold faucets. I'm not looking for the crystal chandeliers. I'm not looking for 8 bathrooms. I don't even know if we'll go in heaven. I don't know about all the glorified body. I don't even know. I doubt it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Praise God. That wasn't a very spiritual thought, but it's practical, isn't it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about all of that. I do know one thing. I know one thing. I want to be close to Him. Amen. I'm glad the walls are transparent. I'm glad the glory is going to light the city and the sun or moon won't have to shine anymore. For the glory of the Lord is going to light that place up day and night. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to keep that glory from radiating into our life. I want to see my loved ones. I'm not concerned about mansions. I'm concerned about my little girl, Lisa Marie. I want to take her and I want to hug her. I never got to have a little girl down here. I never got to hold a little girl. Amen. I miss sometimes that little girl in my life. Amen. When they sing Butterfly Kisses, I just melt. Hallelujah. And I thought, boy, it would be neat to have a little girl too. I got two of those old boys. It'd be good to have that little girl right in the middle of them. Praise God. Probably make me gray-headed. Probably the reason I'm not gray-headed is because I didn't have a little girl to worry about. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They've probably been already gray by now. Amen. But I want to see Lisa. I want to see Matilda Estep that taught me from the first grade, amen, that a good name is to be a cherished more than great riches. Amen. And to be godly. Hallelujah. I want to see Verna Stokes, my sixth grade teacher, who taught morality, not just geography and mathematics and English, can you say, man? But taught us about a God who loved us and a Christ who would save us and a life that would bring honor to Him and keep us out of trouble. You can't teach that anymore in schools, hallelujah. But Verna Stokes taught it, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking forward to seeing Verna Stokes and Matilda Estep, and I'm looking forward to seeing Papa Hall, my wife's grandfather, who is my grandfather's pastor and my daddy's pastor, amen, in Kentucky. I'm looking forward to seeing with two arms, amen, when Jesus comes. One of them's going to come out of the ground in Kentucky, I guess they buried it, and one's coming out of the ground in Brandon. The rest of the body's coming out of the ground in Brandon. Hallelujah. But that arm and that body's going to unite between here and there, and He's going to hug me with two good arms when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Mansions are going to have to wait. Gates of Pearl will get my glance, going through them to the throne to throw my crown at His feet is where I'm headed. Ain't going to be standing around, you know, looking at the gate saying, wow, look at this. God made it beautiful because He wants the very best for us. He wants the glory of that city to radiate. In fact, He made it beautiful in a way that His glory is really transcendent of anything in this city. Everything's transparent. The walls are transparent. The gold is so pure it's transparent. Light can pass through. The light of the glory of God in that city will permeate everything, wall to wall. Won't need any sun, no light bill. Everybody say no light bill. No. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That glory can shine all night and you won't have to pay a penny. Amen. The glory of the Lord will be the light of that city. Hallelujah. And there won't be a place in that city that glory doesn't shine. Isn't that good? God has planned it out that way. But just the reunion part of that. I don't care. I'm honest. Give me a double-wide trailer out on an acre. And give me my daughter. Give me my loved ones. Amen. And give me Jesus. I'd just soon be a doorkeeper in God's house. Amen. If the desire is to inquire at His temple and behold His beauty, then it don't matter about the other stuff.
That's right.
God wants you to be king, fine. He'll have to give you grace to do that. But if He don't want you to be king, that's okay too. We need some servants. And Jesus come, the King of all kings, to demonstrate servanthood. Didn't He? He demonstrated servanthood. You don't find many people that many put on pedestals that demonstrate servanthood. You don't find that. So Christ-likeness is not the example that's set through much ministerial leadership. And yet we're supposed to be an example to the flock. And the reason there's so much unrest is we're all trying to achieve something. I want to be my best for the Lord. I have spiritual ambitions, and that is to be all that He wants me to be. But the key to rest is what He wants me to be.
Amen.
Not what you want for me. We went through a terrible thing. Everybody in the world knew the will of God for us when we first became Christians. It's so good to come to a place after 30 years of ministry that we can say, you know something, they were all wrong. I am not a rebel. I am not unsurrendered. I'm not fighting some known will of God. I am here tonight doing what the Lord has called and anointed me to do.
Amen.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be tonight. God saw me here tonight when I first went into ministry. Saw you here tonight. Boy, we got that kind of God. Sees the end from the beginning. And a God with this kind of foresight, not hindsight, but foresight, wants to guide us. He said, I'll guide you with mine eye. That's why you can trust Him with your life. He has seen your future. The future you're not even into yet, He's seen it.
That's right.
So things are happening right now to prepare us for where He wants us to be and where He wants to take us.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
Amen. My wife does needlepoint, and I use the illustration at work a lot of times. Just trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it, His eternal purpose, to pass. And you can see laying upside down this hoop, and you can see these strings just dangling, multicolored strings, no reason, no rhyme, just chaos. Amen? Just chaos from that vantage point. But if you flip it over, you see a pattern, a beautiful, intricate, perfect pattern emerging. Amen? On this side of eternity, guess what we're looking at? Sometimes just those dangling, multicolored strings wondering, what in the world is God doing in my life? And you hear all these people that talk like God's directing their every movement. I got up this morning, God told me to have breakfast at Taco Bell. Well, it couldn't be the Lord. They don't serve breakfast, do they? Okay. And I found out that wasn't God because they don't serve breakfast. And I prayed again. And the Lord said, go to Denny's. And I said, "That good choice, Lord. They have this big, sausage, eggs, bacon, heart-clogging, cholesterol, you know, breakfast, amen. And so we go to Denny's, amen, and I'll talk to you there. And I met this guy at Denny's, and I led him to Christ, amen. And he went out and became a missionary to the nations. And then I got up the other morning, and God told me that he wanted me to deliver the message Sunday. And I told the pastor, and the pastor said, well, he's been talking to me about that. I want you to pastor the church. I've been wanting to leave anyhow. And so I took over the church. And, boy, when I took it over, it just exploded. And we had one of the 10 fastest-growing churches in America. Hallelujah. It was just wonderful. And then I was walking down the street, and the Lord said, I don't want you, amen, to drive that Explorer anymore. I want you to have, amen, I want you to have a Mercedes because I want my man. And, of course, that's God. I heard his voice clearly say, the Mercedes dealership down here will give you one if you'll go down there and tell him what I said. So I went down and told the guy, and you know something? He said, well, God told me you were coming, and I've already got everything filled out here. And so I walked away with my prayer. And you're listening to these people saying, where did I miss the boat? Where did I miss it? Boy, I'm missing it somewhere because I've been praying. I've been struggling. I've just been trying to do what I can when I can. That seems like so little in light of all these things. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am what?
Meek.
And I am lowly in spirit. And you'll find what I have as a result of that. You'll find what I've got. My peace, rest for your soul. So he says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And it's not something he drops in your heart. It's something he demonstrates by example and asks you to follow. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. He stood before Pilate, serene, perfectly confident. He knew what was coming. He had already surrendered to it in the garden. He wasn't fighting against it. As a lamb, to fulfill prophecy, as a lamb, listen, dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. It really bothered Pilate. It irked him. It agitated him. He said, why aren't you defending yourself? Why aren't you speaking up? Why aren't you speaking a word in your defense? Don't you know that I have the power? Isn't that incredible? Don't you know that I have the power to hold you over unto death or to let you go? I have complete power over you. Rome has given me that kind of authority, and the people out there given me that kind of authority. I can let you go, or I can hold you over to death. So why don't you speak? And Jesus did, but not in his defense. But he told the secret of his serenity under those conditions. Thou couldest have no power at all unless it was given you of my Father. Peace. Perfect. Powerful. Uninterrupted. Peace. In the time of such trouble. Take. Because he was what? In the garden, what did he say? If there's any other way, let the cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not what? I'll never forget television minister. Not all of them are like this, thank God, but this one guy, he had a tape series, cost you $135, $155 bucks, 100, I don't know, 100 and something. 16 tapes in the series. Every tape of the 16. How? Boy, it's the flesh just, oh, give me that. I want that. How to chart your own course. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that sound good and spiritual? How to chart your own course. Jesus said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. I bow to the will of my Father. When his will and mine come in conflict, I defer to him. But here's a guy saying how to chart your own course. I'm glad Jesus didn't chart his own course. I'm glad he didn't call 10,000 angels. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, if I thought like this world, if my mindset was like this world, after everybody betraying me and denying me, and none of those people I helped in life has here to speak up for me, and I stand alone in Pilate's hall. Oh, by the way, he said, I'm not alone either. He said, my Father's with me. It looks like I'm alone, but I'm not alone. I've committed myself to his will, and he's committed himself to my side. The only place he was alone is when he took that curse on the cross. That was the only time. But in Pilate's hall, he said, my Father's right here with me, and my Father's in control. It looks like everything's out of control, but it is not. He is in control, hallelujah. And I bowed to his will, and I bowed to his purpose, and I'm going to that cross. And my Bible said he set his face like a flint. Hallelujah. That means there's no turning back. I'm fully resolved and committed to carrying this thing out. Hallelujah. How to chart your own course. I read in the King James, in the book of Jeremiah after that, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I read it from the New International. Would you like to hear it? It's not in man that walketh to chart his own course. Now you've got 16 tapes that you paid $165 for so that you can be in control of everything through faith. You've got a God saying, it's not how you do it. It's not in you to do that. You come and bow to me. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the Old Testament, my people have committed two evils, that they might add sin to sin. Two evils. Israel did two things that added sin to sin, layered sin on top of sin. They went down into Egypt. They didn't ask at his mouth. They turned from him as their source and made a substitute. They took gold and silver and bought mercenary soldiers to fight with them when they had a God who always went to battle with them. He said, hath a nation changed her gods? Yea, they've forsaken me. Sin number one, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out broken cisterns which can hold no water. It's not just the forsaking God as the source, it's substituting other things for God that compiles this thing. God wants unequivocal trust and full surrender. He doesn't want anything less. He doesn't want to build your faith so you can manipulate Him to get what you want. He wants you to surrender your will so His purpose can be done in your life. And He wants you to find a rest in that for your soul. I'm in the will of God. Amen. Some people want to go. I told my wife today about an advertisement I heard, and we're closing a moment, in Scroon Lake. I don't know where Scroon Lake is. You know, it used to be on radio, this program out of Scroon Lake. But it's this setting in the woods. It's way out in the woods, and you can go down nature trails, and there's no telephones except in the office. I tell you, you know what they ought to do? If they're going to keep it the way they set out to make it, they ought to confiscate cell phones and beepers as soon as you get there. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to enter into your closet and shut to the door, and you can't shut everything else out with your cell phone vibrating on your side. Wait a minute, I got to answer this. I got to answer this. That's this. And that. No, there's a time to say, you know, I'm going to commit this to God for 48 hours. Trust God with it for 48 hours. I don't have to be hands-on for 48 hours. And preachers go there a lot. And they don't have an agenda, like most places. You have a seminar on financial, how to raise funds in the morning at 7 a.m., and then you have a little, a continental breakfast first, and then you have a thing on seminar on prayer, and a seminar on homiletics or preaching, and a seminar on this, and a seminar on that, and you're going to hear from God because you're going to all these seminars and all this busyness. You know how Jesus really got rejuvenated? He withdrew himself from all this ministerial stuff. He went up into a mountain, and he was alone with his Father. Isn't that incredible? How do we try to get it? By running everywhere we can with every breath we got. He gets out in nature. Boy, there's something about a mountain. There's something about just the glory of God. I mean, how many times have you ever looked up in the sky? The Bible said it declares. The heavens declare His handiwork. Amen. They're just a constant. You look up there and say, wow, God is big. Wow, God is great. Wow, that mountain that I think is so big in my life, to God, that ain't nothing. Mountain that stands before you should be as a plain. Hallelujah. Not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? I'll act on that. Praise God. Don't get your shovel and wheelbarrow out. I'll move it by my Spirit. Hallelujah. So anyway, he said there's not a lot to do. They take away all that stuff that people feel compelled they got to do. and said, we've got testimony after testimony after testimony of ministers and other Christian workers that are looking for the will of God in their life, and they didn't find it in a seminar, and they didn't find it in some great preaching meeting and some great crusade. They found it while walking down a nature trail where they could hear the voice of God inside. You know, you just get surrendered. You just get alone with God. You just say, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I am and everything I'm not, everything I haven't and everything I've got, I want to be completely yours. Surrender. Everybody say surrender.
Surrender.
It brings serenity. But you've got to give up your plans. Your dreams. Your agendas. And say, God, I'm yours. And what if he wants you to be just one of those people in the trenches? I'm not trying to take away some great thing God wants you to do. I'm just telling you, David didn't get there with aspirations to be great.
Right.
He got there by maintaining a servant heart.
Yes.
And finding joy in what he was doing. He's the least of kids. He's the gopher. They're in worshiping in the temple. What's he doing? They leave him with the flock. You're the least in rank. You're the last born, first privilege. Amen? So what's David do after his anointing? What do we do after we find out we're anointed for something? We try to get everybody to recognize its own. We try to get somebody to give us a leg up so we can be seen and heard, because, dear Lord in heaven, I got. And you know something? I see people that stay in the peripheral. 30 years of pastor, and I see them. They get a little touch from God, and they decide, I'm not part of that call to the altar. I don't need to get closer to God. Well, if they saw me getting closer to God, then they wouldn't listen to me tell them how to do it anymore. So I don't bow anymore. Well, how are you going to be an example to the flock if you don't bow?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I don't want nobody teaching me that don't bow. I don't want nobody teaching me that don't ever have to repent. I don't want nobody teaching me how to hear from God that acts like they got a hotline to heaven and never miss it. Because Paul got ready to go to Asia, and he thought it was the will of God. And God forbid him. Door just closed, slammed in his face. God said, hey, Toss, I appreciate your zeal, but that's not where I want you to go. Paul was a praying man, a spiritually sensitive man, wrote 13 to 27 books of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he was about to go to the wrong place at the wrong time. And God said, no, nada, that's not it, buddy. And he surrendered and bowed and sat down and said, well, if it ain't there, it must be somewhere else. And in his zeal, he got ready to go to Asia, and the Holy Ghost suffered him not. Come on, all you people with a hotline to heaven. I just don't believe your line's any hotter than Paul's was. I believe you've got flesh to deal with like anybody else. And I believe you need to take that zeal and bring all of that zeal to the foot of the cross and surrender your will to Jesus Christ and the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah! There's a Lord of the harvest. Don't you volunteer. Come and surrender. He will give you instructions. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of the harvest. We'll get rid of the comparisons and the competitivism in the kingdom.
Amen.
Pray the Lord of the harvest. Everybody say the Lord of the harvest.
The Lord of the harvest.
Everybody say the head honcho that's in charge. I say that with deep respect to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the mighty Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is in charge of this thing. And all God wants is our surrender. And what he does, listen, your reward is not going to be for how big you became or how small you were, but being obedient to God. It's all based on obedience. Isn't that good? I like Billy Graham's attitude, who's been so influential. The most influential Christian in the 20th century was Billy Graham. No doubt about it. No contest. No contest. If you can minister to presidents and you can minister to kings around the world, God has given you a place of influence for the gospel. Amen. If you can keep preaching salvation with all these other issues that people want you to deal with and stay away from the stuff that would detract from the message that saves and keep seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior and live a life where they don't, you're not in the no-tell motel. You're not trying to become just like the Hollywood crowd. I'm sure he lives in a nice home, but I don't think anyone would say that he lives in an opulence that doesn't represent that he's after the kingdom and not after the things of this world. Can you say amen? I understand he had a Jeep Cherokee to get up the hill to where he lives on a hill. Amen. It's got four wheels. he'll drive. It's good in the winter in Carolina. Amen. He doesn't have to have a limo. He doesn't have to have a Lamborghini. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I'm sure God takes good care of William Franklin Graham. Amen. But I am very proud, amen, of a minister that has that kind of standing that doesn't have to show off to anybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. My idea is, listen, if you're looking for the other stuff, there's plenty of churches give you all the other stuff you want. But if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to take His yoke upon Him. You're going to have to quit looking at preachers and Christian leaders and start looking squarely at Jesus Christ. He said, if you want to find rest for your soul, come to a place of complete surrender. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me and develop a spirit of meekness, and God will bring it to pass. It wants what He wants for you. Hallelujah. There's a rest in that. There's a rest in that. So then we go to Romans 8. And it says, as we close tonight, likewise, 8:26, there's a work of the Holy Spirit that comes in our weakness and our inability when we're in full surrender, when we can become controlled by the Spirit. This is what's going to happen. Everybody say, filled with and controlled by.
Filled with and controlled by.
How many people, have you ever met anyone, maybe the person that you saw in a mirror recently, but someone, have you ever met anyone, in the mirror of the Word I'm talking about, have you ever met anyone that had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but by their attitude, their activity, or their words, clearly were not controlled by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. How many believe that we can't represent what Spirit-filled means until we can be controlled by the Spirit?
Amen.
Let me tell you something about this humility and this meekness. We don't always know. That's why we're to trust without leaning to our understanding. You don't always know what's best. And you don't always know. Have you lived long enough to make some mistakes that you really believe was God and it wasn't God? You've had to go back to plan A again, which is surrender and say, okay, Lord, I thought this was it. It wasn't it. But that's okay. I learned something through it. I learned that you're in charge, not me. I love what Jack Hayford said. You know, Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford was asked on 700 Club, what is the greatest thing you can say, ministerial graduates that are coming through Bible schools today and going out into ministry after all of your years and your wisdom and your experiences? He said, oh yes, I have a word for them. There is a God. Something I've learned after all of these years. There is a God. There is a God. And I'm not Him. I like that. Something everyone that thinks they've got it all together needs to know. There is a God. But you're not Him. Hello? So here's how this surrender works. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There are situations where the sovereignty and the eternal purpose of God kicks in. And when those situations come, there's no scripture you can grab and pray it. Scripture you've got to get a hold of is, not my will but thine be done. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. He will bring it to pass. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways and He will direct your path. Can you say amen? There's nothing manipulating about that. In fact, you can be manipulated by God. He becomes the potter again.
Glory.
And you become the clay.
Yeah.
And there's a time on that wheel when you're getting dizzy. Because the wheel is spinning and you're on it. And He's touching your life and making changes by allowing things to touch your life. But He's got a plan. He starts with the design in His mind, and it's personal and it's individual. Hallelujah. And His loving hands are touching your life while you spin. And what looks like chaos is a wonderful plan of the potter. And as long as you stay soft and pliable, you know what He does with the clay to get it ready? He mixes water with it and treads it with His feet. I'm getting Pamela ready to become a vessel of honor. Where does it start? Under his feet. Squishing up between his toes. And it's soft enough to squish between his toes. He said, now I can put it on the wheel and do something with it. But until it's that soft and pliable, I can't even work with it. Thank you for the hearty amens tonight. I'm telling you about a potter. And I'm telling you about the clay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God said, you want to know what I want to do in Israel, what I'm going to do in Israel? Go down to the potter's house. There's where you're going to get your lesson about how I work in my covenant people. Can you say amen? He said, I went to the potter's house and he already had something on the wheel. Praise God. Already been softened and placed on that wheel and it's spinning. And it's going round and round and he sees a flaw in it. Isn't it amazing that God could find a flaw in some of us? Isn't that incredible? Yes, they found an actual flaw in it. Oh, my God in heaven. What a terrible pot that must have been. He should have picked me. Pick me. Can you say amen? No. Every one of us has got flaws in our life. Amen. But the great thing about the potter is if you're surrendered to him, amen, completely surrendered to him, he's going to work with that. Praise God. Amen. He's not going to throw that pot away. He's going to reach down and remove that hard lump that can't be shaped. Praise God. He's going to throw it to the side and he's going to go right back to his shaping process. He is determined, amen, to cause this vessel to come forth the way he wants it to and become part of his. You know what the Bible said of us after we received Jesus? We are his workmanship. Yeah. Amen. Created in Christ unto good works. Works don't save you. But if you're saved, amen, there's going to be some works taking place because the master potter is going to start touching your life. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the first thing he's going to do is not put you up on a shelf and say, look at my grand creation. He's going to put you down into a place where you become completely surrendered. Then he puts you on the wheel, takes out the flaw, and shapes you. And when he gets you in the shape he wants to keep you in that shape. So he puts you in the oven. Everybody say the furnace of affliction. Because that's where you're cured. That's where you're set. Hallelujah. I've learned more about God and His love and grace in the furnace of affliction than I ever learned on that mountaintop of my seeming victory and success. And I come out of that as pure gold. I don't come out of that fire, amen, hurt or harmed in any way. I come out purified. Hallelujah. Though your faith be tried as by fire, it'll set you. Praise God. You got to dig in and say, I'm going for God this time. Hallelujah. Well, God's looking for that. Amen? All starts with surrender. The rest and my peace. Where do you get it? Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. Hello? You're going to learn of him, let his mind be in you. Who, though he thought it not robbery, to be called equal with God, he made of himself no reproach. God exalted him, but he didn't exalt himself. They looked at him after the flesh and said, good master, and he was. But he knew that they'd say the same thing to any rabbi that walked down the road or any Sadducee or scribe. So he said, why callest thou me good? Just looking after my flesh? There's none good but my Father which is in heaven. They wanted to make him a great faith healer. And he says, listen, I can do nothing of myself. I'm just a vessel. It's what I see my Father do. Words I speak are not my words, but what I hear my Father say. Everybody say, fully surrendered.
Fully surrendered.
And God gave the Spirit to him how?
Without
measure. Glory to God. Because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that takes full surrender. Amen? Full surrender. Full surrender. But it also brings a rest. Because if you know tonight you're fully surrendered to him, amen, then you don't have to fight anymore. Remember that song by the second chapter of Acts? Leaf don't fight with the wind blowing it around. Amen? Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. We don't know how to pray as we ought. So the Holy Spirit's been given to do what? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hello? And if we always know it, we don't need him to do that for us and through us. But the fact is, we don't always know it. But he does. And when we surrender and trust in him and defer to him, he, praying in the Spirit, means praying not just in tongues alone, but in that full surrender to the will of God. I've seen people pray in tongues that were headstrong, rebellious, and self-willed, and they went out and shipwrecked spiritually. Hello? So sure of themselves. Some of you probably wanted to be that confident. I'm glad you were not. I honor people that go through struggles with the will of God and pray and seek and fast if necessary. Can you say, man? Get down before God and make sure there's nothing in us that would hinder him from doing what he pleases in our life. I honor that. I don't look at that as a weak Christian, but I look at that as someone who qualifies for the Spirit to intercede according to the what? According to the what? The will of God. Because we always know how to pray as we ought. If we go to this seminar and we get that person's take, no, we don't, and they don't. And Paul didn't. So he deferred when he didn't know. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? It takes it takes a lot off of us. Puts a lot more on God when you surrender. Lets him be God. Lets the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And we know once we're surrendered like that, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. And the first step to resting faith is to realize you're not on your own. God wants to be personally, intricately involved in your heart and in your life. But he needs your trust and surrender to do that. Some of the great Christians down through time are not people who made a big splash. What they did a lot of it behind the scenes, out of the limelight, in the peripheral of what man considered great. I'll never forget a pastor story, true story. He preached and made a salvation call, and a man came that had been a hard man in the community, been an atheist for years, and he started coming to church, and he'd come for several Sundays. And he walked the aisle one Sunday morning and gave his heart to Jesus in a full surrender, a real genuine conversion. The scales fell from his eyes. And the pastor, wanting to replicate that and see other people saved, asked him, what was it in the sermon this morning that finally broke through that darkness and penetrated your heart? I want to know what part of the sermon got through to you. He said, well, to tell you the truth, preacher, it wasn't any particular thing in the sermon. He said, but you see that lady, and there was a lady that came to church. She's just faithful to church. She just loves God. She's not a missionary. She's not a Bible teacher. She's not the choir director. She's not a Sunday school teacher. She's just a great Christian woman. She's widowed. She lived next door to that man. And he said, for years I've watched her life. And after a while, I couldn't fight it anymore. I could not deny, amen, that there's something to this Christian testimony and this Christian witness.
Yeah.
And, well, what was her role? Her role was to be what she was for Jesus. And we need some Christian neighbors.
Amen.
Not just some Bible teachers in seminars.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
They did a thing the other day because, I don't want to pull back any of the media representation. It's a powerful evangelistic tool. But they did. They had a group of 1,000 people together, and they just, one man preaching, he polled that 1,000. How many in that 1,000 came to Christ through a media minister? That means radio or television ministry. And about 100 people out of 1,000 said they came to Christ through a media ministry. And thank God for that 10%. It's worth all the media dollar to get that 10%. But here's the deal. He said, how many came because someone shared Christ with you or you went to a local church and heard the claims of Jesus? Somebody on the job, some neighbor, some family member shared Christ with you. The rest of them put their hands up. If we got the idea tonight that all we have to do is send $100 to someone on television and not be what God called us to be and see the significance of that, we're missing it. We're missing it. Christianity is always spread best by everyday Christians that just live for Jesus in the public arena. Oh, somebody say glory.
Glory.
Great revivals are not just because sinners decide to come and you're greatly anointed men. It's because people in the church get a fresh touch of God in their life. The first love starts burning and they begin to live their faith publicly with joy and enthusiasm. And someone sees that and is convinced of the reality of that faith and they come. Where do those people come to at the Billy Graham Crusades? It's because a neighbor says, amen, our church is sponsoring the Billy Graham Crusade. I'll pick you up. My daughter will watch your kids. I'll take you to that arena. Amen. And it's that and the only reason they will go is if that neighbor has been true to God and they've seen it in their life and they're convinced that that person really believes this thing, they might get in the car and come and one plant, one waters and one plants and God gives the increase when the evangelist preaches. We don't always know how to pray as we ought. Isn't that a load off of you? So if you're puzzled tonight and you don't know and you haven't figured it out, it's okay. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given. Because He knows the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we want you to bow to Him when you don't know and say, Father, I want Your will in this matter. And You know my heart. I'm surrendered. Hallelujah. Shela makine, shanda damasiti. He said, most pastors hear God when they're back out in a natural setting away from the phones and all the agendas and all the appointments where the still small voice of God can speak within a surrendered soul. Hallelujah. Pastor I had respect for because of the spiritual anointing on his life. Ministering years ago in my little town, and he said God called him, sent him to Minnesota. After about 8 years in Minnesota, he came back to our little town and was asked, where I was able to hear, why did you come back to Florida? He said, because those winters up there are so cold. And immediately I thought, I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to hear what he's got to say. If you're assigned to Minnesota, you put on your long johns. You don't just say, you know, it's cold, I decided to go back to Florida. Don't ever teach me about being led of the Spirit. Now, how you get led? I just picked up a Charisma magazine and showed a lady that for 40 years of her life has ministered to the Eskimos up in a part of Canada that's right up near the Antarctic or the Arctic area. And it showed her this big fur thing. It showed her when she was young, and now you can tell, you know, that kind of cold will weather you and age you quick. And she's not that beautiful, young-looking missionary. Amen. Now she's showing all the ravages of age and time and cold. And there, she said, there is a move of God among, there's a name, the Inuit or something. There's a people up there in the Arctic. And she said there is a, and showed a bunch of them in a church, amen, up in the Arctic. And one of them laying in the floor praising God in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that incredible? Aren't you glad that some woman said, you know, God didn't call me to Palm Beach, didn't call me to the Bahamas, didn't call me, praise God, to Hawaii, hallelujah, didn't call me, amen, to sit in some grand spectacle place, but call me to some place nobody wants to go, call me to a people that nobody wants to preach to, call me to face and bear these elements and to live 40 years of my life out of the limelight. Can you say, man, hallelujah, and whether they take my picture and put it in Charisma or not, it won't affect what I'm doing for Jesus Christ here, because I'm going to be rewarded, praise God, for my faithfulness to God and these souls that I'm going to present to Him. I want to hear somebody that surrendered to Christ teach me about following Him. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm after. I'm not after the glitz and I'm not after the glitter. Hallelujah. I want to follow them that follow Him. Yeah. Well, just thought I'd run that by you tonight. Teddy Roosevelt was a hunter. He took trips and safaris to Africa. Will you stand with me tonight? A missionary, true story, returning aged, his youth is gone now. His energy is gone. His body is, the ravages of time have taken their toll, and he's becoming feeble. And after 40 years of being on the field, he's coming back from Africa on the same boat that's bringing Teddy Roosevelt back from his safari, his hunting safari. One man from a missionary society meets this aged missionary coming back after 40 years of faithfulness to Christ, sowing the seeds of the gospel. Teddy Roosevelt is met with a limousine, an entourage of military people, and a ticker tape parade, ushered away in a black Cadillac to the Oval Office. The missionary has somebody. I'm sure it wasn't no limousine. One person from the Missionary Society picking him up in the van or whatever they had. And the guy felt sorry for the missionary, because he said, here you are serving the Most High God. And here's this guy, you know, he's got all these allocades, and you've give your life to the gospel, and it's just me picking you up and taking you to whatever little retirement apartment or wherever they're going to place you now. So he looked at him and with kind of pity and pathos and said, he comes home and he gets a parade and all these cheers, and you've spent 40 years for Jesus Christ, and you come home and it's just me to meet you. No fanfare at all. That old missionary looked up with a smile on his face and a gleam in his eye. He said, son, I'm not home yet. Isn't that good? I'm not home yet. If you suffer with me, you will reign with me. He that's faithful over a few things shall be ruler of many. Be faithful. That thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Do it to the glory of God. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. For thou shalt be rewarded of the Lord Christ. I don't believe I'm here with a rebel heart tonight. I don't believe I'm here unsurrendered to what God wants me to be or do. I'm here in direct, distinct obedience to the will of God as far as I know it. And I defer to Him and admit openly, I do not know all that He has in store. But I'm His. I'm His. I do not understand why after 25 years of full-time pastorate, I worked in a very demanding job where the pace is set by the machinery, where you have to keep up for the last over 6 years. The demand has been incredible sometimes, but I feel so rich in Jesus and my soul and my heart. I've got more peace in my life than I've had in years. This last year, which has been so challenging on my body and time, has been the greatest year. If I could lift a single year out of my entire ministry for personal enrichment, this last year has got to be the greatest year of all. I've had more of that rest in Him, more of that peace, more of that joy. Sometimes I work fast because I feel His good pleasure. I don't know if you understand. Sometimes there's an energy that comes that actually they're telling me in a place where they're firing people for not doing it fast enough, and they're telling me to slow down. You're telling me to slow down because you know that I'm sometimes don't use wisdom when I feel this stuff. And I appreciate you. Amen. I got my brother there that's going to push me out that door if I don't leave in a little while. He's going to say, and he's my junior, can you say amen? But God uses him sometimes to remind me that right now I can run through a troop and jump over a wall, but after a while I'm going to be me again. Hallelujah. Somebody said the Holy Ghost is to a believer like what a phone booth was to Clark Kent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He can do supernatural things through your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what God wants tonight? He wants nothing less than your full surrender in mind. And when we give it to Him, He wants us to trust in Him with all of our heart. And don't sweat the rest of it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Everything to Him. Trust also in Him. He will bring it to pass. We got a divine destiny. Amen. And I believe we are in sync with that. If you're not, surrender. If you don't have peace, surrender. If you don't have rest, surrender. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in spirit. And you'll have what? Rest for your soul. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I thee. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Literally in the Greek said, I've robbed of the power to harm you. That means if you're surrendered to His will, God will take everything that touches everything, all the tribulating stuff, all the stuff that causes trouble, everything, if you trust Him through it, will work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to what? That image. The image of His Son. Who though He...